I am pumped. Like, I haven't been up here preaching to you guys for, I don't know, probably about four months? It's been a while. So, no, I'm just absolutely stoked to be up here. I've just got some awesome revelation burning on my heart. And I just pray that you just receive something tonight, eh? So, my first question is, tonight, who is expecting to receive something tonight? Who's that? Come on, make some noise. Who's expecting to receive something tonight? That's encouraging, because those who are expecting will receive. God says that those who hunger and thirst will be filled. If you are hungry and you're thirsty to receive something tonight, I assure you that you will receive something tonight. Amen? Fantastic. All right, how about you guys all grab a seat? Well done, band. I'm just going to start off with something a bit lighthearted. I was up at Teen Challenge in Ellendale. Who's been there before? Raise your hand. There's a few people. It's a pretty awesome. Bob and Naomi have been there. I think they've been there probably once or twice. Is that correct? Bob and Naomi, if you don't know them, run Teen Challenge up at Ellendale, and they're doing a fantastic job. And I have the privilege to live in the house, in a house in New Norfolk with them, which I think is just fantastic, because everything that I'm doing in the schools, and if you don't know, I'm a chaplain in 2 schools up in the Derwent Valley, and I'm starting up under the church, plus with a bunch of other guys from the church, a youth centre up in New Norfolk, which the kids are just pumped about. But it's awesome, because everything that I'm doing, Bob's pretty much been there and done it. So, like, if there's any questions I have, it's like, oh, Bob, what do you think about this? And he goes, well, back in my day when I did that, last month or something, I don't know. No, he's a well of knowledge. So if you don't know Bob, get to know him. Get to know Naomi as well. She's an absolute legend. But anyway, as I was saying, I was up at Ellendale, and there's a guy up there called Omar. He's one of the case workers up there. And I was chilling out with Omar, and we came across the topic of Christian pickup lines. And they're quite amusing. So before I get into my message, I'm just going to share, this is my sub-message. It's the sub-message that goes to all you singles out there. These are some pickup lines you should or should not use to try to find your partner in life. So starting from the top, where is there? Let's go. I'll just go through some good ones. I've got an entire page of them, and you probably don't want to hear a page of them, do you? Who would want to hear a page of Christian pickup lines? Oh, actually, there's a few of them. That's scary. I haven't been game enough to try them. That's why my homework for you guys tonight, all you singles out there, go out, test these out, come back to me and tell me if they work. and then tell me which ones work the most effectively. So, first one, I'm gonna say these as if I'm trying to pick you up, sort of thing. So, God told me to come and talk to you. That's number one. I know a good church that, we could go talk at and pray at. Do you need prayer? Because I'm certainly willing to lay hands on you. Do you need help carrying that Bible? It looks pretty heavy. Oh, you know Jesus, me too. Hey, did it hurt when you fell from heaven? Oh. What are your plans tonight? Feel like a Bible study? So, do you want to come over to my house and watch the Ten Commandments tonight? Or you could replace that with watch the Passion of the Christ, you know, whichever you're into that evening. So the word says, give drink to those who are thirsty and feed those who are hungry. Up for dinner? Is it a sin that you've stolen my heart? No, I found these all online. Me and Omar were cracking up laughing as we read these. Excuse me, but I believe one of your ribs belongs to me. My friend told me to come and meet you. You might know him. Jesus? Really? So, you want to practice speaking in tongues with me? What's your name and number? I'd like to add you to my prayer list. I like this one. Hey, baby, do you want to take the church van for a spin? I think that's classic. I like this one as well. Has anyone ever told you your eyes are like doves and your neck is like the Tower of David? So that's for all you Song of Solomon fanatics out there. I don't see it myself, but people tell me I look like Michael W. Smith. Okay, nobody really knows. Does anyone know who Yeah, he's a pretty attractive-looking gent. Maybe Joel Houston, I don't know, whatever. Hi, my name's Will. God's Will. check the person's t-shirt tag and you ask them, just as I thought, made in heaven. God was just showing off when he made you. So, what do you think Paul meant when he said, greet one another with a holy kiss? Before tonight, I never believed in predestination. Do you think asking should be given to you should be taken literally? So that's when you then say, will you go out with me? And they say yes. If Eve was tempted by an apple, you're my apple. And this is a good one. Did I ever tell you my great uncle was best friends with Billy Graham? That's a pretty good pickup line, eh? you know, I'm into relationship evangelism. For you, I'd slay two Goliaths, you float my ark, and the last two, how many times would I have to walk around you before you fall over for me? And for all you guys that like good books to read, how would you like to join my purpose-driven life? Give it up for Christian pickup lines. I love it. I just saw them and just cracked up. I thought I'd just start off with something lighthearted. It's quite amusing. Anyway, I think Joe must have been onto something because he's right. There is a theme to today, for I am preaching from Romans 1:16. Dave preached from it this morning, and Joe just thought he would throw in his two bulbs worth as well. And then I thought, well, what the heck? I might just come up here with a sermon and do the same. It's quite amazing, actually, because I wrote this sermon on Wednesday night after watching the Maroons get up over the Blues and record another mighty victory for all those rugby fanatics out there. Can I hear an amen? There's two and a couple of boos. Actually, I generally don't care. I don't watch the game. I just watched it because that's what the boys were watching, and it was good fun, actually. But afterwards, I went to go to sleep, and I had to write a sermon, and I ended up writing for about 3 hours straight and just praying and looking in the Bible. And it's just amazing that God, the word that he gave me was out of Romans and then the first chapter as well. And then I go to Dave on Friday and say, oh, God, Dave, I've got this awesome word lined up. And he's like, oh, what is it, Dan? And I said, oh, it's out of Romans 1. And he was just like, Dan, I'm preaching from Romans 1. And I was just like, oh, well, you know, that just must be God's will. He just had it all lined up or something. But it's great because my message is on a different, sort of like a flip of the coin. I'm preaching from a different side of things. So if you're here this morning, don't worry. You're not going to get a repeat. It's going to be something fresh, and you're going to receive something if you believe it. So Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. You see, the gospel is the avenue to salvation. It's not by what we have done. We have received the gospel, not just because what we have done, but it's through Christ. In verse 5, it says in Romans, through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. It's amazing what we can do through Christ. As it says here, it's through Christ we've been given this privilege. A lot of you would know the verse, through Christ we can do all things, for he gives us strength. In verse 8, it also says, let me say that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because of the faith in him. You see, through Jesus Christ, we can do anything and everything. We can overcome fear. We can overcome addictions. We can overcome shame. We can be thankful for people even when we don't want to be thankful for them. And you see, and through Christ, we can be unashamed. And as I read in verse 1:5, it says, through Christ, privilege and authority. That word privilege, it's also the word grace. So we've been given the grace and the authority to be able to come and preach this gospel, to preach this good news. And if you are here for the first time tonight, I'm pumped because I'm just going to be preaching on grace, about Jesus and about love and about the fear of God, which is something powerful that I just pray that you would receive something tonight. You see, grace is undeserved favor. Salvation isn't something we can hang our hats on. It's not by what we have done, but it's what he has done. And since we have received this, we are therefore responsible. We have the authority and the privilege to go and share this news and this great commission to all. So tonight, what I want to do is affirm your salvation. So everyone say tonight. With conviction. Tonight. Tonight. That's what I like to hear. Who here has feared sharing the gospel at times? Who here has been ashamed of being a Christian at times? Who here has, you know, just chose not to mention it because you didn't know what someone was going to say, so you thought, oh, I'll just bypass that and just not mention that part of my life at the moment. Is there anyone here that's been like that before? I think we've all been there. We've all done that if you've been a Christian for more than 3 days. Because I know I've been there. Like, I know times in my life where I've just deliberately chosen not to say something just because, like, I haven't seen this person for like 4 years and I don't know what they'll think of me if I say that I'm a chaplain and I love Jesus and he's my Lord and my Saviour. So instead I just ask them, oh, what have you been up to? And just seem excited. And I am genuinely excited about that. But, you know, tonight I want to overcome this. I want, like this scripture says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I want to make it so we can say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I want to replace this shame, replace this fear, and I want to replace it with a consuming fire, with a passion for Jesus' name. So if you want to receive that tonight, make sure you got your pens ready and make sure you have your hearts open. You see, the points are not hard to understand, but they will require a little bit of effort and energy on your part. Because what I want to give you is some points to equip you, some points to help you be able to be someone who is unashamed of this gospel of God's undeserved love that saved us. So can I just pray for everyone before we go any further? Is everyone fine with that? Cool. God, I just thank you for all these people before me, Lord. I just thank you for the word you've given and placed in my heart, Lord. And I pray that you just impart that to all that are here tonight, Lord. I pray that their hearts would be open, that the soil would be ripe for your seeds, Lord. I pray that what is spoken tonight, Lord, I thank you that your word does not return void. And as I preach out of the Bible, God, I pray that the word would not return void, that it would change people's lives. It would change situations and circumstances, God, that tonight we would go out not being the same, but we would go out unashamed, filled with your fire and filled with reverent awe for you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, let me paint you a picture. In Deuteronomy 6, does anyone know what is in Deuteronomy 6? Have a stab in the dark. Someone have a guess. Shout something out. God, yeah, actually he is in Deuteronomy 6, surprisingly. 10 commandments. Bingo for Alex. I suppose. See, the kids are learning stuff, some good stuff. The Ten Commandments. So, I am the Lord your God. I preface. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an idol. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of your God. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You should not desire or take your neighbor's wife. You should not desire or take anything that belongs to you. Now, has anyone never broken any of those commandments here? Raise your hand. Anyone? No. So I can say that we're all in the same boat, that we're all guilty of breaking one of these commands or more at times? Yes? Yeah? Well, that's what the scripture says. Romans 3:23 says, "For we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard." So we're all guilty. We're all in the same boat, correct? Cool. And that's why faith alone saves. In Romans 1:17, so this is going straight on from the verse in Romans 1:16. I'll just read it all straight to you, so just to refresh your memory if you've somehow forgotten in the last 3 minutes. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for this is the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first and also to the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. And this is accomplished from start to finish by faith." My point one, everyone say point one, is fear the Lord. Who likes fearing the Lord? Cool. Deuteronomy 5:28. "When you heard the voice out of the darkness while the mountain was ablaze," this was Moses speaking to the leaders of the leaders of the tribes of Israel. Moses had just been up the mountain, been talking to God, and had come back to chat to the leaders and tell them what God had said. So this is Moses. "When you heard the voice out of the darkness while the mountain was ablaze with fire, all the leading men of your tribes and elders came to me, and you said, 'The Lord our God has shown us his glory and his majesty. And we have heard his voice from the fire. Today we have seen that a man can live even if God speaks with him. But now Why should we die? This great fire will consume us, and we will die if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer. For what mortal man has ever heard the voice of the living God speaking out of fire as we have and survived? Go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says. Then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you, and we will listen and obey. The Lord heard when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard what the people said to you. Everything they said was good. Verse 29. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. Fear and obey. The thing is, you will serve what you fear. That's just what happens. If you are worried about your financial situation and your money, you will serve to make money and to fix that situation. If you fear the opinions of others, you will serve them. You will always be a people pleaser. You'll try to always be on their good side. You'll side with them. They'll say something. You go, yeah, I agree with that. But if you fear the Lord, you will serve Him. If you fear Him, you will, you'll do anything you can to, acknowledge Him and to do right by Him. And I just want to read to you. I'm reading a book at the moment. It's called Draw Near. It's by John Bevere. It's a really good book. And it's just amazing because I only read this last night and I'd already written my sermon. It's talking about fear and it says, drawing near to God always begins in the heart that fears and loves God more than anyone or anything else. It is not just an outward action, but the heart's motive. Therefore, in initially defining the fear of the Lord, we must first address the heart's attitude. Let's begin. To fear God is to esteem, honor, and hold Him in the highest regard, as well as to venerate, stand in awe, and reverence Him. It is to tremble with greatest respect for Him, His presence, and His commands, as well as His wishes. But this is only the beginning. The Bible talks about fear, and there's a difference between the fear that I'm talking about here, where the people of Israel were standing in a reverent awe. They were, fearful because he was just so mighty and so powerful, and compared to a fear that's afraid or, scared or hiding or something like that. The fear described here in Deuteronomy 5 in Greek is called alubia, which means this reverent awe sort of thing. While the fear, for example, in the Garden of Eden when Adam had sinned, it was is pronounced delia in Greek, which just means fearfulness, timidity, to shrink for fear. You see, the Bible says fear is the beginning of all wisdom, and this is that godly fear, the alubia. So, I want to encourage you to build a reverent awe and a fear of God. You might be saying, Dan, how do we do that? And you want to know how to do that? Everyone want to know that? You study the Word. Fear comes from revelation. If you are not reading your Bible, you will not fear Him because you will not know Him. Read and meditate on the Scripture that talks about how holy. There's verses that in the book of Revelation that just keep on shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And when you get a picture of just how holy He must be, there's nothing you can do but stand back in awe. You need to read Scripture that talks about how powerful He is, how His right hand drew Israel out of Egypt and then crushed Egypt behind them. How dangerous He is. Egypt and stuff were on his bad side, unfortunately, and they got absolutely decimated because of it. How awesome He is. You read through the Psalms and you see these Scriptures time and time again just declaring just how awesome our God is. So fear comes from studying the Word and receiving revelation, but it also comes from God encounters. In Deuteronomy 6, we see a pretty amazing God encounter. We see the people of Israel standing there, and then there's a mountain with this cloud of fire and God speaking out of it. I'd say that is a pretty epic God encounter. And they, in turn, because of it, were filled with reverent awe and fear. Dave touched on this one this morning. Paul was on the road to Damascus to go kill Christians and to destroy Christianity. And God speaks to him and blinds him. And he gets up trembling and says, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Same as in Isaiah 6. This prophet, he has an encounter and leaves in fear and awe, and his response is, send me. Let me just read you another verse out of this book. I encourage you, if you've never read this book, Drawing Near by John Bevere, read it because it's a fantastic read. And John Bevere is just such a great teacher. This is talking about seeking Him and not the experience. I've watched people seek experiences or manifestations, thinking, they will find God through the experience rather than seek the Lord in their heart and in turn the experience will manifest in His presence. Often after preaching a God-breathed message, heart-convincing message, I'll call people to the front to meet with God. There are times when some will pray in such a way it is disturbing or distracting and rubs up against the flow of what is going on. Others will laugh or shake or display some other type of outward gesture. The reason is that at one time they sought God and shook, cried or laughed in His presence. So now they subconsciously do these very things in hope God will be found in those same manifestations. But He is not. Many times I still the people and tell them not to do anything, just to be still and turn to Him in their hearts and seek the person of Jesus. If there is manifestation, great, but we are not to seek Him in the way of manifestations. We are to seek the Lord Himself. And that's the thing. With Isaiah and with the people of Israel, they were seeking the Lord Himself. With Paul, it was a bit of a different story. He just got slapped around the face and he just encountered God. So let me encourage you not to seek an experience when you come to church, not to seek a manifestation or to fall over or any of those things. That's just an overflow of actually, you know, experience and encountering God. So let me encourage you to have those God encounters and to read your word and to receive revelation. But that's not the point. It's about actually meeting God and getting to know God. In Philippians 2:12, I love this verse. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, the key word to me here isn't actually the word fear that I've just been talking about building a godly fear. It's not even the word trembling. It's not even the word salvation, which we're doing a series on at the moment. The key word to me here is the word work. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work requires effort. Salvation, yes, is an undeserved gift, but God desires us to put in some effort. He wants us to work it out, to read the Bible and understand. You see, God is on our side. It says He is for us and not against us. And if He is as awesome and powerful as the Bible says He is, thank God He is for us and not against us. So since He is for us and not against us, let's draw near to Him and get into the Word and get into His presence and discover how awesome and mighty He is. Let me encourage you to interact with your Bible. It says the Bible, the Word, is living and active. So interact with it. Receive the revelation and renew your mindset. That's my first piece of homework for all of you here tonight, to go home and go and interact with your Bible, because it will change your life. Point two is obedience. It says in verse 29 of Deuteronomy 5:20, of that passage I was reading, oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always. You see, the direct correlation to having a reverent fear of the Lord is obedience. Let me just quickly say, you know, fear doesn't actually turn our hearts. It's love, you know, like Dave said this morning, you know, fear drives us to be obedient. But it's God loves that saves us. It says, you know, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. But then it says, you know, in Philippians, work out your salvation. You know, we're saved, but you've got to work it out. And that's the fear and trembling side of things. It's the fear of the Lord that helps us work out and understand what we're saved from, what was our fate, you know, what we're now destined to have, which is, you know, eternal life, which is fantastic. But let me encourage you to be obedient to His commands. And those are the two commands that always pop out to me are all obvious ones there. The great commandment, which I think most of you would know here, which is to love your Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself. And the other one is the great commission, which is to go and preach the good news, to go and make disciples of all nations. And if you're obedient, if you have that reverent fear, that these will just come automatically. It's not about striving to try to live out this command and live out this commission, but it's about getting to know Him and understand God and fearing Him. And then you automatically, you're obedient to Him, so you automatically fulfill these scriptures because you've just got such a heart for God and you want to know Him and you want to please Him and you want to, you know, bring the kingdom of God into every situation, into everything that's going into you, in on your world. And that way it happens all the time just because you know him and you know what he's like. You know how amazing he is. You know how powerful he is. You know how much love he has for you. So your heart just can't help but overflow. You want to just love people. You just want to, tell people about the good news. You know, you want to get alongside them when they're hurting and say, what can I do to help you? That's just an overflow. That's the obedience is an overflow. It's not about striving to do or put a list of, okay, I shouldn't do this, 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 this. It's about knowing God, and you automatically don't do this, 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 and this. You automatically do the opposite. You've turned 180 degrees, and you want to go change someone else's life. So let me encourage you to know God and be obedient. Who's getting something out of this tonight? Yeah? Cool. Because I would hate it if you weren't getting something out of this, because I'm getting something out of this. I'm reading this, and I'm getting something out of it, which I think is an encouraging thing. Though I'm whipping through my notes quite quickly, though, that's the only thing. I think I'm just that excited to get it out that I can't help but share it quicker, quicker, quicker. It's like, has anyone seen that Thumbtanic? No, don't worry. It's a skit version of Titanic, and they're all thumbs. But but it's like, I demand this ship sinks faster. And the thumb is one, just the captain, he's just going nuts and just wants the ship to sink faster. And I was just thinking, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Faster, faster, faster. But anyway, I've just been sidetracked. I'll get back to my notes. Don't worry. I'm about to get on to point three. Point three. Everyone say point three. Now everyone say, value what you have been given. Fantastic. You were such a great class. Valuing what you have been given. This comes from understanding salvation and knowing God. Hence, it therefore comes from reading the Word, spending time in His presence, talking to God and reading up about salvation. Why would you want to share something if you don't value it? Like it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And he's talking about sharing the gospel to everyone. But if you don't actually value it, why would you want to share it? That's why it's important to value it. And I encourage you to download Pastor Dave's Sunday morning message from a few weeks ago where he talked about valuing your salvation. That was a powerful message. And if you weren't here on that morning, seriously, download it. And that will do a lot better job than what my brief little description here is. This is like a little subversion of that sermon to a degree. So get the actual full thing and get it into you. But why would you want to share something if you don't value it? That's why it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, as I said before. Work and effort into something equals value. If you put energy, if you put time, if you put finance, if you put your passion into something, you're going to value it. If you don't do that, you're not going to value it. It's like, for example, I have a new car. If I paid money for that car. I clean that car. I take it to the mechanics when there's a problem. Therefore, I value it because I don't want it to be destroyed. Like boats, the exact same thing. You could have a boat and you do it all up and you look after it, you take care of it. You're putting energy into it. You're putting some value on it. And out of that energy, out of the money, the work that you put into it, that creates value. That's why God says, work out your salvation, because it's work out your salvation so you have value on your salvation. Because you need to value your salvation, trust me, because if you don't value your salvation, you'll just see it as something just to throw in the corner. You know, it's all right, I'll pick that up occasionally and I'll dust it off, but you know, you need to actually put work and effort into it so you can value it. God wants us to value salvation. You know, he doesn't want us just to, like Dave said this morning, to open the top drawer and to stick it in there just for something to pull out on a Sunday evening. He wants us to have it with us the entire time, to continue to work it out so that we can value it at all times, knowing just how powerful the gospel and this salvation is. Or also, you know, football, you know, kids train, or if you're a dancer or you do, you know, whatever it may be, guitaring, you practice, you put time into it. And then you value it and you want to talk about it to people. You say, oh, what do you like? And common interest. Oh, I like guitaring as well. And, you know, or, oh, I play football too. I love footy. I play for Clarence. I do this, I do that. You know, it's just what you put time, energy and passion into, you will value. So let me encourage you to put time, effort and passion. And what I mean by that is to, you know, get your Bible, read it, regularly, a lot. Get books like Joy Near by John Bevere from the Koorong shop. How much? I got no idea. Lucy Anderson, is she here? How much is it? Six. I love it. I love it. $16.95. Get in a life group. Get around a bunch of other people and talk about it. Say, oh, what do you think this verse means? What does it mean to you? Because what it means to you might be different to what the other person, what it means to someone else. But they're both correct because, you know, it's the inspired word of God, and God can speak through the same verse 30 different times to 30 different people. So let me encourage you to get in a life group. Get to church regularly. Talk to people. You know, that's what working out your salvation is. It's putting that value on salvation to work it out, to, you know, to get in the presence of God and ask Him, God, what do you mean by this? To get before Him and understand how it says in the Bible, all wisdom, all strength, all knowledge, all power to you. Like it says in Revelation, He's got all wisdom. It says if you ask for wisdom, you will receive it. It says it in James. So let me encourage you to go get before God and talk to Him. You know, have a bit of a chat. Maybe get out a cup of tea or something. You know, God loves it when you pour Him a cup of tea too at the table and you're sitting there and, you know, you're having a bit of yarn. I reckon He would actually. Seriously, I reckon we should start up tea cup offerings. You make a cup of tea for yourself, you make a cup of tea for God, you sit down, you sit on the other side of the table and you start to have a conversation with Him. You're like, God, how's your day been? And He's like, I'm good. I am holy. And you're like, ugh. It's all true. It says it in the Word. He's good and holy. It's like your salvation. I want you to build ownership over it, to value your salvation. Don't just see salvation as a thought or a Christian idea or a Christian talking topic sort of thing. Salvation is the most precious gift that we can ever receive. Salvation is the power of God. Oh, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's how amazing the gospel is. The gospel is that Jesus came and died for you. He took your place even though that you were a sinner. And He gave up His life so you may have life and have it in abundance. And all we have to do is just acknowledge that and say, God, I don't understand all of it, but I know that You're doing something in my heart. I thank you for Your death and your victory over it by rising again. And I receive You as my Savior and my Lord. And it says that out of doing that, out of that obedience, that you are saved, that you are continuing to be saved, that you forever will be saved. And you'll end up in a place where you get to spend eternity with Him. So let me encourage you. It's like, this is my final example for building ownership and value. If you don't know already, we're actually starting up a youth centre up in New Norfolk. Yeah. Can I hear a bit of noise for New Norfolk? Come on. Yeah, sorry. I love it. But the kids up there absolutely love it. But, like, you know, we're trying to build ownership over it as a church by, you know, having different people get up there, do a bit of painting because you're putting effort and time into it, you know, like I've just said. And I'm getting involved with it quite a fair bit because I'm sort of heading it up. And there's other people that are, you know, that I've shared the vision to, and they're now, you know, want to be a part of it just because they just know it's going to be something that's going to change lives of kids up in that area. But what I also love is the fact that I've got New Norfolk High School kids saying, Dan, what can I do to help? And we've had a few times them come in, a couple of them knock down a chimney, and that builds value for them. They feel like they're a part of it. We had kids come in and do a bit of painting the other day, and they feel a part of it because I just got let them come in there and just do a quick little bit with a brush. It was quite amusing. But and a roller, and the rollers. You've got to love the rollers. But, you know, you've got to build that value. You've got to build that ownership. And let me encourage you also to build value and ownership over the church. You know, the church is God's vessel for His body. You know, it's His bride. Seriously, like God loves His bride. He's coming back for it. The Bible says He's actually coming back for His church. Not the building, but for all of us. And so let me encourage you just to, you know, to value your church, to value all of us, and to, you know, to sow into the house and to sow into each other. And, you know, there's something powerful about doing that. But like I said, with these New Norfolk students, I'm trying to help them build ownership over the youth centre that we're starting up there. So then, like, we had four kids. This was just an amazing thing, I feel. These four kids, they were wagging school. Two of them said they were sick. and the other one was just not there. And the other kid was at school, but then he left because he had a bit of a fight with one of the teachers. But I was going into town, and I ran into him, and I was like, boys, they were actually quite near the building that we're turning into the youth center. And I was like, boys, what are you guys doing? Like, shouldn't you be at school? And they're like, yeah, I'm sick though. And the other guy was like, sort of turn his back and go, because he knew that I was the chaplain, and me and him actually had hung out a few times, and he's actually a real good young fella. But so I was asking him this, and these are like the sort of kids that the teachers always talk about in the staff room, going, oh, this kid had done something wrong again. This kid's, you know, threw a piece of like a rubber at the back of someone's head at full pelt. This kid broke a window. These are like those sort of, you know, the four kids that a lot of the teachers are, you know, don't love as much as maybe some of the other kids. But yeah, it's a nice way to put it, eh? But so what I did, I was down there with them, and I said, boys, you should get back to school. And they knew I was going into the building. So they're like, oh, Dan, can we first come in and have a look at the building? And I was like, yeah, sure thing. So I let them in there and said, oh, yeah, we're doing this with this area. We're going to have a pool table here and a ping pong table there. Gonna have like sound system up through here, couches in here. We'll go downstairs, and I hopefully gonna build a skate ramp to stick in this corner. Hopefully we can have live bands there occasionally. And they're just loving it. They're just like, oh, this is gonna be so awesome. We can hang out here like all the time. It's like, and on the way out, one of the boys has said, Dan, what can we do to help? Like, and he said, and that just, you know, impacted me that this kid that, you know, would be one of the trouble students. He just realized just what we were doing for him, the love that was coming out of me for them. You know, they didn't deserve us to go up there and open this place and get all this stuff happening for them. But they realized that we were doing this out of a generous spirit. And this kid was acknowledging it, saying, how can I help? What can I do? And I think that's amazing, because these are the four kids that if we'd just gone up there and opened the place and said, hey, come in, they probably would have came in and gone, hey, smash a pool cue against something. They wouldn't have valued it at all. They wouldn't have any value over it. But because I'd brought them in, I'd shown them the place a couple of times, I talked about it, and I knew them. I knew them. I met them at school. I've been chatting to them at school. I'll go out and kick the football with them. You know, I knew them. It's like knowing God. You got to value it. And that's what I loved about these kids, because if they didn't value it, they would have rebelled. They wouldn't have not. They just wouldn't care. They wouldn't have any ownership over it. But because they valued it and they knew me, the in their eyes, the maker of this thing that's going to happen, they felt like they had some ownership over the place. So that's my point. You need to build ownership over your salvation. You need to build ownership and value over your church. You've got to build ownership and value over your God. So my sum up. The bear can join me if they like. If they like. If not, you can sit there and continue. If you want, you can sit there for the rest of the sermon and just write your last... Yeah, sit there, and you guys always have to come up here early. Sit there. Stay. Get your book out and write some notes. I was getting a bit hierarchy sort of... what's the word? Not religious. That's not religious. I was thinking more... Fascist, that's the one. I was thinking Hitler, but I couldn't remember what the name was. Like, my sum up. The four words. If you leave here tonight and don't take anything with you apart from this. Wait, let me say that better. Take these four things with you, okay? Fear, obedience, ownership, and value. Write those four words on your forehead so you see it in the mirror in the morning. If you, like, seriously, these are sort of the FOOV, if you want to have an acronym for it. That's just a weird word, but FOOV, anyway. Fear, you know, like I was saying, you've got to fear the Lord your God. You've got to have a reverent understanding of how mighty, how powerful, how awesome He is. You've got to be obedient. But like I said, that automatically comes out of that fear. It's an overflow of knowing the Lord. It's overflow of revelationship. I mean, revelation. I was going to say ownership next, so I sort of mingled those words into a new word. So revelationship, it's a new word. Ownership and value, they're sort of, you know, entwined. You know, put the effort in. You can chuck that one in there as well if you want. You know, work it out. You need to put the work in it so you have ownership and value. So let me encourage you to reflect and meditate on these words. Try placing them into your life. If you do, I can assure you, you will find that you will soon become unashamed of the gospel, which is the power unto God, unto salvation. And you'll be, you just won't be able to help but share this good news. Because you won't be fearing people. You'll be fearing the Lord. You'll be obedient to Him. You will have ownership over your salvation because you've put work and effort into it. And you will value it because of this same reason. In just a short moment, we're going to sing a song. We're going to praise our God. We're going to worship Him because He's an awesome and mighty God. And He's mighty to save as well. But Dave or Joe are going to come up here in a moment and give you an opportunity. If you do not know this God, this Jesus, this powerful, powerful, awesome God that I've been talking about, that I've been raving and ranting about, they're going to give you an opportunity to come to the front and receive this God, or even receive the Holy Spirit if you haven't received the Holy Spirit before. So let me encourage you. I just so hope that this message that I've spoken tonight, it was a revelation that's just burning inside my heart, and I reckon you might have realized that from the way I've been speaking about it tonight. But I pray that it's encouraged you, that's inspired you. I just hope to God that you've received something from it, that you can take it home and actually, you know, live it out. Because Christianity isn't something we do on Sundays. Christianity is a day-to-day following the Lord, about an intimate relationship with the Creator of the universe, with the Savior of all of humanity, with the God who gave His one and only Son so that we may be right with Him. This is the God we're talking about. And then we're going to enjoy a delicious dinner served by our youth team, which is going to be, I think it's hot dogs. Hot dog, it's Friday. No, it's Sunday night. Does anyone remember that? You don't? It was, who's that Canadian dude that came to the last Energizer conference? John Burns. Oh, that's the one thing I remember from his message. He said that they used to do stuff on Friday night. So they always went, hot dog, it's Friday night. But none of you got it. So it was just like, that was just the worst joke ever. So because it was the worst joke ever, I'm going to move on from that.